Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the news, presented by Hams, the beer refreshing. Hams is the beer that looks refreshing. Dancing gold in your glass. Tastes refreshing. Crisp and clean cut with smoothness aged in. Yes, Hams is the beer that captures for you the refreshing enchantment of the land it comes from, the land of sky blue waters. When you're dry and thirsty, ask for Hams. H-A-M-M-S. Hams, refreshingly yours from the land of sky blue waters. And now, Edward R. Murrow.
This is the news. General Eisenhower is now flying back to France. And President Truman says there was one reason for the general's quick trip to Washington: to discuss the problem of maintaining Western Europe's economic stability at the same time Western Europe is rearming. The president says that when Congress cut the foreign aid bill by some $800 million, the key and fundamental proposition in the economic recovery program was taken away from us. General Eisenhower also had something to say before he left Washington. We'll hear some of his remarks in a few minutes. French President Auriol opened the United Nations General Assembly today with a plea for a Big Four meeting in Paris. He said that if the distinguished men towards whom all anxious eyes are turned were to establish human contact, exchange ideas, consider their differences, and jointly try to reduce their disagreements which paralyze the world, there would be worldwide joy. Prime Minister Winston Churchill, in his first speech to the new House of Commons, made a similar suggestion. He said, "Our great hope in foreign affairs is to bring about an abatement of the Cold War by negotiation at the highest level through strength and not through weakness." Mr. Churchill also outlined conservative policies for the House of Commons. He said the gravest matter facing his country is the threat of bankruptcy. He is going to take action to set the British House in order. It means another period of emergency with exceptional measures. Mr. Churchill said his government will fight to stay in Egypt. It will strive patiently to repair the situation in Iran. The traditional king's message, written by the conservatives and read for the king because of his illness, also noted that the conservatives will try to end nationalization of steel and iron, try for more efficiency in the health program, and attempt to build more houses than were built under the Labour government. The Labour leader, Clement Attlee, called the King's speech one of the thinnest ever. He said Mr. Churchill had no clear line of policy except to undo the work of previous parliaments. While President Auriol in France and Prime Minister Churchill in London called for a meeting of heads of state to try to settle the Cold War, the Russians made a policy statement today through Lavrenty Beria, the chief of their secret police. He was the main speaker at the celebration of the 34th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. Beria said, "The Red Army is ready to strike a deadly blow at any aggressor." He said that if those whom he called the imperialist vultures should interpret Russia's desire for peace as weakness, then they will suffer an even more decisive defeat than anyone else before. And he pointed to Korea as the best proof of the imperial camp's aggressive policy. In Korea today, the United Nations turned down a communist proposal to agree on a ceasefire zone immediately. The enemy would then interpret as bad faith any move to cross into the buffer zone. Brigadier General Knuckles, United Nations spokesman, says we will not accept this. We insist on the release of prisoners, on an agreement for supervising any ceasefire. General Knuckles feels that the only thing that keeps the North Koreans and the Chinese communists talking is the continuing pressure of possible hostilities. Today, in Western Korea, the pressure of hostilities was on us. The Chinese have captured another hill, their third in 2 days. In an all-night attack with heavy artillery support, they overran some American units in what correspondents describe as one of the costliest and most savage fights of the current battle. Heavy rains prevented our planes from supporting our ground forces. Democratic Senator Johnson of Texas said tonight that our defense program is lagging because too much industrial energy is going into non-essential civilian goods. and Assistant Defense Secretary Anna Rosenberg, just back from Korea, said the formula of guns and butter is out. It is guns first, then butter, if possible. The Brotherhood of Locomotive Firemen and Enginemen today called a strike for next Thursday against four big railroads. The president then ordered an investigation of the dispute under a procedure that means at least a 60-day delay in the strike plans. Senator Taft, campaigning in Alabama and Mississippi today, called on Southerners to forget their prejudice against the word Republican and elect a Republican president in 1952. Just before General Eisenhower took off for his European headquarters today, he talked to reporters in the lounge of the Washington airport. The general paid his tribute both to the men and the commanders in Korea. And he made it clear that the fighting front in this global effort had top priority, that he would never, under any circumstances, advocate starving the battlefront in order to nourish a planning group such as his in Europe. General Eisenhower made it clear that his problems are not all military. For the record, he said progress in Europe is not as encouraging as it could be. But he went on,
"We know where we're at. We have worked out our requirements. We have a command organization, advisory groups working with governments. We're down in the hard, sweaty work of working with governments on budgets. Can they stand another this or another that? What are they producing? Can they do more?" Now, in such problems as that, and you will see that I seem to talk far more in the economic, political, and even social field than I do the military, but that's the nature of my task. The free world must produce a collective security through cooperation, or our way of life is going to have to undergo drastic changes, and I mean drastic.
Now, about politics. Has the general given his friend, Senator Duff, or anyone else, authority to act for him in a political way?
No one, as far as I can see it, can be authorized to act for anybody else in this world. I hope we are each responsible individuals. Now, if I have friends that have been my friends so long that believe they know how I would act and react under given situations, that's their own business. And I have never attempted to interfere in any man in exercising his own privileges as American citizen. But no one, after all, would need to speak for me in any case where I should speak for myself. But now let me make one thing clear, gentlemen, and I hope, I don't mean to exclude the ladies, I just didn't see them. I hope that this makes sense to all of you. I am on a job connected with a program in which the United States has literally invested billions of dollars. Now, that job has been set up because the bulk of the people of the United States believes it is necessary to our existence. Now, is there any person here that would expect me or would allow me, if they could prevent it, to state a partisan preference at this time when I'm on that job? I am supposed to be working for the people of the United States. And I don't ask each one of you, I recognize your responsibility to the press, and I don't ask each one of you, are you a Republican or a Democrat? And I might even have some interest in it, you know, particularly if I were had any aspirations. What I am trying to get at is that as of this moment, I'm trying to do a job, my staff is trying to do a job, and we think it's important. And we think that each of you would have a right to resent it if we would try to divert ourselves, our attention, from that job to talk partisan politics or to state a partisan preference. Now, I will say this. If the time ever comes when I feel that my duty compels me to say a word of any kind, I'll say it, and you don't have to look, you won't have to worry about what it'll be stated positively and definitely.
Well, to put it another way, does the general have any idea how long he will have to stay on the job as Supreme Allied Commander in Europe?
I really haven't had time to picture in my own mind the kind or the set of circumstances that would be signal for my relief. I am not trying to be stuffy, I'm not trying to be evasive, and certainly I'm not trying to be egotistical and say I'm the indispensable man in Europe. I don't believe in the indispensable man. I'm just saying that as of now, I've got a job where it happens. I think I'm working for all of you people. I hope you'll let me do it, and thank you and goodbye.
General Eisenhower would seem to be rather more aware than some of his supporters of the magnitude and the difficulty of the task that confronts him, of the fact that his mission may fail, and that if it should, his opponents will maintain that the whole thing was a foolish and futile venture from the very start. If he doesn't succeed in Europe, it will be very difficult for him to succeed in whatever ambitions he may entertain here at home. It seems to me that the general has acquired more old friends in less time than most men in public life. Some of them have never even met him. There is a veritable covey or clutch of people who presume to speak for him. You have heard his answer on that point. For my own part, I do not believe that anyone is masterminding General Eisenhower's actions or utterances, though there are plenty who have hitched their wagon to his five stars. It seems to me rather clear that General Eisenhower is proceeding along what might be called traditional military lines. A campaign consists of a series of battles. The major battle, as crucial as any General Eisenhower has ever commanded, is now being waged in Western Europe. And it is clear from what he has said that the outcome of that battle is in doubt. And until that battle is concluded, the next move in the campaign, whether it be military or political, cannot be determined. If General Eisenhower were to declare himself politically, now, either way, he would, in effect, be giving aid and comfort to his enemies, both in Europe and in the United States. This is Ed Morrow. I'll be back in a moment with the word for today.
And now, November night has settled over the land of sky-blue waters. Lakes that earlier were tinged with the last pink glow of sunset now lie dark and still, silently watched over by tall, tall pines. There's something especially exhilarating about the land of sky-blue waters in late autumn. And it's here, in this refreshing wonderland, that Hamm's beer is brewed. Hamm's is the beer that captures for you the refreshing zest of this magic land where it's brewed, the land of sky-blue waters. Only Hamm's beer offers you that crisp, clean-cut taste with smoothness aged in, a superb flavor you'll never forget. And you and I, with Hamm's beer as our ambassador of refreshment, can enjoy this northern flavor of all outdoors whenever we like in our own homes. How about right now? How about a tall, frosty glass of Hamm's beer? Refreshingly yours from the land of sky-blue waters. And now, Ed, what's the word for today?
There are many tonight who are trying to read into General Eisenhower's comments all sorts of political meanings. These are the people who obviously agree with Disraeli that in politics, nothing is insignificant. But there are others convinced that the general is living up to Mark Twain's political creed that a man's first duty is to his conscience and honor. The party comes second to that, never first. Good night and good luck.
Tune in again tomorrow night for Edward R. Murrow and the News, brought to you by the Hamm Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Tonight, reach for a bottle of Hamm's beer, the beer with the crisp, clean-cut flavor all its own. It's truly America's most refreshing beer, from the land of sky-blue waters, enchanted land of cool refreshment. Ask for Hamm's beer tonight.
Listen tomorrow. This is the CBS Radio Network.